Hallelujah. Amen. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles? Some here know where I'm going because I blabbed it out Friday night in Bible class. Well, one of them here anyway knows exactly where I'm going. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, but I didn't tell this part, the chapter and the context. Galatians chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Deacon Mitchell is our designated reader, and we're going to read through first the King James Version, from the King James Version, and then we'll follow up in the interlinear and we'll make some extended comments. If everyone have that, Galatians chapter 1, beginning verse 1, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Reader, read from the King James Version, verse 1 through 5.
Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5,
mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle,
mm-hmm.
not of men,
yes.
neither by man,
mm-hmm.
but by Jesus Christ and God the Father,
mm-hmm.
who raised him from the dead.
All right.
And all the brethren which are with me,
mm-hmm.
unto the churches of Galatia.
Of Galatia, yes.
Grace be to you.
Grace.
And peace from God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And from our Lord Jesus Christ.
What?
Who gave himself
for our sins.
That he might deliver us from this present evil world.
That he might, according to this, deliver us. Might deliver us from this present evil world.
According to the will of God
mm-hmm.
and our Father.
Mm-hmm.
To whom be glory forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to impress this in your mind, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will impress it to your spirit. Knowing Jesus and who he really, truly is. Knowing Jesus and who he really truly is. It's all about him. Actualization versus manifestation. I thought I'd sneak that in there. I can't get away from that. Actualization versus manifestation. Let me say this first. All nations of men do not absolutely all men, but in all nations, or among all nations of men, they believe or know that there is, if they don't know it, they believe it, that there is a supreme being or God. Now that is general revelational knowledge. Of all nations, men acknowledge that there is a supreme being or a God. General revelational knowledge. But to know Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that's personal, that's specific revelational knowledge. Amen. In all of existence, that is everything, all of existence, everything, we must differentiate between actualization in eternity by God's decree from manifestation in the created entity of time. We have to differentiate between the two. Time has a beginning, and according to the book of Revelation, which John wrote, or the Lord Jesus gave to the Apostle John, time also has an ending. Eternity has neither. No beginning, no ending. And may I add, there is no time involved or in eternity. There's no time interspersed in eternity. Eternity is. It's absolute existence.
Mm-hmm.
It is. No time. Actualization, again, is that which is decreed or made real or brought into existence. Actualization, or the bringing of a thing into existence, is by God's decree in eternity. All things were decreed by God in eternity. It's by God's decree, and we must differentiate it, that is, actualization in eternity, by God's decree, from manifestation in the created entity of time. Every event, every act, these are all according to God's eternal actualization and decree. Every incident, every event, every act, every incident. Now, let me say this before I go forward. God does not have to make a man do evil. He don't have to make you, zap you, and make you a murderer, an injurious person, or none of that. You have a depraved nature, a sinful nature, and what God, that this was a sign of God unto all men, beginning with Adam. And it is passed down upon all that come into this world that are natural humans. And I say it like that for a reason, because I'm going to differentiate between Jesus and humankind in a minute. So what God does is he overrules our depravity and causes us not to do what we would otherwise do according to our nature. Every accident, or accident so-called, an accident is an unplanned event. But with God, there is nothing that's unplanned. God has decreed, determined, and purposed and planned everything that manifests and everything that is. So it's an accident to us, an unplanned event, but not to God. Every smile, God has decreed and has to enable it. Every frown, every heartbreak, every heartache, the Lord has to decree and enable it to go down. Every so-called big thing and every little thing, again, so-called. Every song, every silence, God had to decree it and enable it, and he did so in eternity. Every silence, every opposition, every approbation or approval. So when you see folk not agreeing with you and not agreeing with people that you agree with, don't get all bent out of shape. This is in the design of God. God has decreed everything, including the part that started with T. Thought I'd mention that. God had to create and therefore enable the mass and the matter, or the mass or the matter, for it to exist. Every substance. The energy For it to sustain or operate, God has to enable it. And the time slot and the space for it to manifest or be revealed, God has created and had to enable that. Colossians 1:16 and 17, it speaks to the manner that in Him, that is in Christ Jesus, everything has been created and sustained in the heavens and in the earth. And in Him, everything consists. Not just by Him, but in Him, Christ, everything consists or is held together. And so it is with us, His elect, His chosen, His beloved, His children, us, members of the body of Christ. In our eternal positioning and abode in Him, as well as our cause of this temporary, or course rather, in this temporary life and existence. It's temporary, saints. It's temporary. Again, the temporary manifested entity of time events. God has enabled it. He has decreed it. Our being in Christ, our abode in Him, our eternal abode in Him, God has, amen, decreed it. But come what may in the events and temporary happenings of time, come what may in the temporary happenings of time, what we call the good, the bad, or whether we look away from it as being indifferent to it, we are not gonna be, are saved, safe and secure in Christ. Not by us, out of us, or according to us, but by the faithfulness of Christ. Not, amen, throughout, not throughout, but into the eternal ages, of the eternal ages, of eternity, amen. We are eternally secure in Christ. Saints of God, receive it. We pray, God, we believe it to the nth degree. Because there are terrible times approaching. No matter how good we might have it at one time or another, even now, there are terrible times approaching in this earth, in this state, in this nation that we temporarily abide in. Now, Galatians chapter 1. What we have here is Paul has come back to Galatia, as Elder Nixon had preached and ministered on last week. He had came and preached the gospel of the grace of God. And then he had went on as led and guided and commission of God, of the Lord, to minister in other places. And while he had gone away, Judaizers from Jerusalem and the kingdom church had came in and were preaching a works program, a conditional salvation of things that they had to do in order to be saved. And so that was the moment that the Lord used in delivering this message through the Apostle Paul to the Galatian church. Now, Deacon Mitchell, if you will, we're going to begin at verse 1 from the interlineal Greek text. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1.
Greek interlinear, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1.
You may follow along in your King James or whatever Bible you have, and you will see great similarity, but we want the literal word as it is interpreted from the Greek language. And that is the way we can get the literal truth by the literal interpretation. All right.
Paul.
Wait.
An apostle.
An apostle. Hold it right there, Deke. Paul, an apostle. An apostle is a messenger. He is one that is sent forth, or one sent. He is an ambassador. And an ambassador is a representative of the highest rank. So if his rank is so high as an apostle and an ambassador, then who of higher rank can send him? None but God.
Mm-hmm.
None but God. Even Christ Jesus. An apostle is not made of men and organizations. I don't care what title they give him, or give him the title of an apostle, or if they give him 2 million, well, let me say 5 million. If I say 2 million, you're going to think I'm talking about somebody. 5 million, I could be talking about anybody. I don't care if they give, the organization give him the title, and $5 million to go along with it and back it up. He is not an apostle. An apostle is one that has to be divinely sent forth, speaking, preaching, teaching the message of and from God. You can't be an apostle by an organization.
Mm-hmm.
No organization sent any of the apostles. They were sent forth by the highest authority. Even in the book of Acts, they were praying, the apostles were praying, Paul and Barnabas and the saints were praying, and Paul and Barnabas with them. And the Holy Ghost, who is God, said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent them forth. He has to be sent forth by God. He's a messenger from the Lord. All right, read deep.
Not from men.
Not from men, or not of men. That's the genitive case showing possession or ownership. Not of men.
Mm-hmm. Nor through man.
And that men is plural. Nor through man. That is singular. So it includes the generic of mankind. Mankind. Not from men, nor through mankind. But what, Dick?
But through Jesus Christ.
And this is a conjunction, superordinating conjunction. In other words, what is getting ready to be said right now trumps what was said before. But, superordinating conjunction, through Jesus Christ
and God the Father.
And God the Father.
The one having raised him.
The one having raised him.
Out of the dead.
Out from the dead. Not of man. Paul was an apostle. Not by man. And not out of mankind. Praise God. Now, I know that in 1 Timothy, I think the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse, it said that there is one God and one mediator between God and man. It said between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way it reads in the literal interpretation from the Greek language. This is the way it goes. I said we're going to be talking about who Jesus really is. For one God. This is the literal Greek interpretation. In case someone mind take them there, or someone want to go there and say that Jesus was a man. Well, let's see what man he was according to the literal interpretation. For one God and only one mediator of God and of men. It did not say between men and God, but of God, genitive case, ownership and possession, and of men, genitive case, showing ownership or possession. Jesus Christ was of God and yet of men. But here is the catch. it ends with not the man, but a man. He was a man qualitatively above men. He took on humanity, praise God, but he did not take on the human sinful nature that came down from Adam to every man in every ethnicity. Now we're going to corroborate, and hopefully corroboration will help clear. If there's any fogginess of mind, hopefully corroboration will help clear it up. Deacon, turn with me to John chapter 8 verse 20, and you all as well. Chapter 8 verse 20 through 24. John chapter 8 verse 20 through 24. And we're going to read it. We'll read it from the King James.
John chapter 8, verses 20 through 24.
Through 24.
King James.
All right.
These words spake Jesus in the treasury.
Uh-huh.
He spake in the treasury. As he taught in the temple.
As he taught in the temple. So he was not speaking to the disciples. He was speaking to the Jews, the religious elite of that day.
Uh-huh. And no man laid hands on him.
No man laid hands on him. Why?
For his hour was not yet come.
His hour was not yet come. I said God has decreed everything. No man could take him because his time for being taken had not been manifested in the earth, in time slot.
Mm-hmm. Verse 21.
As a matter of fact, he said unto the disciples or the Jews, he said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Go ahead, Dean.
Then said Jesus again unto them.
Then said Jesus again unto them.
I go my way.
I go my way.
And ye shall seek me.
Mm-hmm.
And shall die in your sins.
You'll die in your sins.
Whether I go,
where I'm going,
you cannot come.
Yes.
Then said the Jews,
mm-hmm.
Will he kill himself?
Will he kill himself?
Because he says,
mm-hmm.
Whether I go, ye cannot come.
Verse 23.
And he said unto
and
him,
he said unto them, this is where we are going.
Ye are from beneath.
Ye are from beneath.
I am from above.
I am from above. Now, they said on one occasion, say, is this not the carpenter's son? His mother, his brother, and his sisters? Mm-hmm. Are they not all here with us? So what are you talking about? He is from above, or he's not from here? We know him. So they thought. The Lord Jesus has to reveal himself to his beloved elect in order for them to know him personally, who he truly is. I'm going to show you again what I mean. Alright, ye are from beneath, and he said, even though he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, a babe in a manger, he said, I am from above. Our Lord Jesus Christ took on humanity, but not the sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take the sin nature that came down from Adam to all the human race. His origin was not from beneath or the earth. And hang on to your hat. Yours is not either. Our origin is not in the earth. It is physically, fleshly, but our eternal origin cannot and is not from the earth. We were chosen in him when?
Before creation of the world.
Mm-hmm. Before creation of time. We were already in Christ. Our origin, saints of God, is in Christ Jesus in eternity. Let's get it straight about who we are. whose we are and what our hope is. All right. He said, I am from above. And then he said, what? Ye are what?
Ye are of this world.
Of this world.
I am not of this world.
Neither are we. We abide here temporarily, but our origin is not here. We have been given that which is conducive to physical environment. But we are essentially and eternally spiritual as Him in whom we abide eternally. All right. Now this one's going to blow you away. Read verse 24, Deacon.
I said, therefore,
close attention, I said, therefore,
unto you, that ye shall die in your sins.
That you shall die in your sins. He's talking to those religious elite that were hounding him. You shall die in your sins.
For if you believe not, that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Ye shall die in your sins. Now, back up one phrase. If you believe not that I am he, is there anything different about the word he? Yes, it is. It's in italics. And italics is Italian and means foreign word. That word, he, is foreign to Christ's statement.
Mm-hmm.
It does not belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Deacon, I want you to read the last two statements and leave out the foreign word, he. Just the last two statements of verse 24.
For if ye believe, not that I am, ye shall die in your sins.
We're talking about knowing who Jesus really is. Where have you heard that before? You heard it in the book of Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the third chapter in verses 13 through 14. At the burning bush, the Lord told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses said, Lord, who shall I say sent me?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said unto him, I am.
Right.
Tell Pharaoh that I am have sent you unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing who Jesus is. Praise God. He took on humanity without taking on a sinful nature. He said of his own admission, and if you have a red letter edition, this should be in red writing. But I want to tell you something. When we go back to Galatians shortly, and when we go to 1 Corinthians, I'm telling you, that is red writing in black ink, because it's not Paul's word, but it's Christ's word to Paul for the church.
Right.
It could be in red. Hallelujah. Because the word of God, even Christ. All right. One more corroboration. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47 through 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 through 50. Corroboration, again, is bringing in testimony from another place. That time we brought testimony in from another gospel, another contract with God's elect, and another dispensation or administration or house rule or economy of God's dealing with his elect of that dispensation. Now we're coming to the dispensation that we are in, the economy, the administration, the house rule that we, the church, the body of Christ, are in. And we shall corroborate from here. Deke, would you please begin reading? Matter of fact, we're going to read this in the interlineal. And if you have another translation, just follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 47. Deacon, if you will, please read from the interlineal.
The first man,
Adam,
was out of earth.
Out of earth. The earthy. First man out of earth, earthy.
Mm-hmm. The second man is out of heaven.
We're going to do it without the parentheses, D.
Okay.
Out the brackets. The second man
out of heaven.
The Lord, which he's talking about, the Lord Jesus, out of heaven. He just told the Jews that you are from beneath, I'm from above.
Mm-hmm.
You are of this world, I'm not of this world. And we are eternally in him, so we are not of this world. Oh yes, we were placed here surely for a time, in time, for a purpose, God's purpose, in identification and testimony primarily. Now testimony is witness. We're witnessing to God's work, God's righteousness, and what he has wrought, because this is going to be displayed through all creation eternally, what God have wrought. The second man out of heaven. Alright, verse 48.
Such the earthy man, such also the earthy ones.
Uh-huh.
And such the heavenly man, such also the heavenly ones.
And who do you think he's talking about? We as members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember where we truly and eternally abide. You know, you got a temporary residence. I'm sure Brother Caballero have seen and encountered people in his work. When he was working in that, he'd go in and clear out all the debris from places that had suffered devastation where the people couldn't abide there. They were abiding in temporary quarters. We in the flesh are in a temporary abode.
Mm-hmm.
We in the earth are in a temporary earth abode. We in time, 80 trillion ages or years, don't make no difference. We in time are in a temporary abode. Temporary. We are eternally in Christ Jesus. As he is, so are we. We are in him. But God overrules, we can't see it sometimes when we go off the hook, fly off the handle, off the shelf, or wherever we fly from sometimes. We can't see it, it's not manifested, because God has not overruled our depravity. Sometimes he do and you feel so close to Jesus. And sometimes he don't and you feel, oh my God, I could have done better than that. I didn't have to go there. Hallelujah. He overrules our depravity. All for testimony. That is not us, but him. Even Christ Jesus. If the Lord let everything go our way every day, all day, soon, we would think we are it. Or the its. But the Lord has us in depravity for testimony. Testimony, and testimony is witness. Of not what we have wrought, but what the Lord has decreed concerning us. Alright, such also the heavenly ones. And verse 49,
And as we bore the image of the earthy man,
as we bore the image of the earthy man,
we shall bear also
in manifestation. He's speaking manifestation here. We shall also what?
The image of the heavenly man.
The image of the heavenly man. Mm-hmm.
And this I say,
brothers,
that flesh and blood, kingdom of God, to inherit, cannot, neither, corruption,
incorruption,
inherit.
We are incorruptible flesh. It cannot, shall not inherit incorruption. This is more than just good for funerals. This is good to live by on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
As we are born the earthy, we also bear the heavenly. We truly abide in our eternal spirit in the body of Christ. That's what we truly abide. And again, that's no temporary abode. This is the temporary abode. This is the temporary abode. Our flesh, our earthly bodies, the corruptible. Corruption does what? It putrefies, and then it eventually dissipates. And so our bodies are eventually destroyed. All right. Back to verse 1 of Galatians chapter 1. So Jesus Christ, Paul, not an apostle from men, nor of mankind, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. The one, the only one, having raised him, and that is an aorist tense. It's a completed action. Having raised him. Paul is not talking about before he came on the scene and received the mystery or the dispensation at the head, the dispensation of the grace of God. He's talking about God's eternal workings. God raised him by his decree in eternity. The aorist tense, a completed act. It was completed when Paul penned this. It was completed in eternity in the heavenlies by God's decree. And we are in him. When he resurrected in eternity by God's decree, we were in him. We resurrected. When he died in eternity by God's decree, see, it's God's word, his decree, his saying that makes a thing real. Not when it shows up. Not when it showed up on Calvary 2,000 years ago. God spoke it from eternity. It existed in his decree. Mm-hmm. Your course in life, what you encounter, or don't encounter, God spoke it from eternity by his decree. It couldn't help but manifest. Well, you mean to tell me that time I messed all the way up? Yes, that time. Hallelujah. It was. It had to be enabled. It had to be enabled of God and according to his decree. Saints of God, we are a product of God, as Ephesians 2:10 states. I think it's verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are of God a product. I know King James say we are his workmanship. But we are a product of God. The literal rendering of that word. God's product. You think of a big, and the word product is the root word of production. All manifestation is God's production. He has ruled and decreed everything that goes down in him. In him, all things consist. All in time is God's production. Just like that great movie, start with an A, that broke all earning records. That was that man's, Mr. Cameron's, production. Mr. Cameron determined what color the people would be in the tree. Blue. Mr. Cameron determined them that they would blow the tree up. Mr. Cameron determined, amen, that who would be saved and who would get out and what would happen to the guy that went in. It was his production. God determined, decreed everything that goes down in creation, his creation. Everything. I say it again. Our Lord Jesus said that a sparrow does not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father. In other words, he was saying that God has to enable the energy and the space of time for it even to manifest. God has decreed that as everything else. He has raised him out from the dead. Verse 2, Deacon, of Galatians chapter 1. Verse 2.
And the with me, all the brothers, to the churches of Galatia
or the region. Galatia would be like saying the churches of southeastern Michigan. It's not a city, it's a region. All right, this letter is to all the churches, and goodwill and good wishes is to all the churches of Galatia. And indeed, it is the Grace Gospel Church this year day. Read, Ella, verse 3.
Grace to you.
Grace! 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 You notice I'm taking my time explaining. I guess I'm just a teacher preacher. Grace to you. Those to whom is coming. Second person plural. Paul is first person singular. This to you is second person plural, the saints, and specifically the Galatian church, but to all the churches in the dispensation of grace, which are members of the body of Christ as we are. We're still in the dispensation of grace. Grace. Grace is not some nice little help that God gives us to do our best to make it in. Grace is not without merit or earning. Grace is no merit. Grace is a benefit. Grace is a benevolent. I know nobody probably in here from the old Methodist church. I came up first Methodist. I was born in the Methodist family. And we used to have what we called the benevolent offering. And they would come by with the pans and pass it down, and you pass it to the next and on and so forth and make the aisles. It was the benevolent offering given to those that were in need with no expectation of payback. That's grace. It's a gift. And Pastor mentioned this some years back. What we do at Christmas time, our giving is usually not a gift. You think about it. Our boss, I got to get him something. My son, my daughter, my foreman, my neighbor, and the list goes on and on and on. That's not really grace in its purest sense. In its purest sense. I'm not saying don't stop, just stop giving. Keep on giving what you're giving. But that's not the purest example of grace. Grace is a benefit, it's a benevolent, without expectation of anything in return. What have we said to our children sometime? I never should have gave you that. You ain't hard-headed. So we're expecting something back. We're expecting obedience, or at least some consideration. Hallelujah. All right. Grace to you and to me. And what, D?
And peace from...
And peace. I'm going to walk now, D.
Okay.
And peace.
Peace here is the Greek word irene. And it means, this is to you and to me. It means harmony and order. Peace. Ain't no beef between us and the one that's sending this grace and peace message to us. There's no beef. I did this, so I know the Lord gonna get me peace to you and to me. I messed up. Thank God nobody don't know it but me. And I know he ain't gonna let me get away with it. Grace. Peace. Peace. Now, let me say this. And nothing right but right. And as we always say in Romans, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But where sin abound, grace superabound. So where sin got going, grace really got going concerning us, to us. Grace and peace. You're in no detriment. Remember now, the aorist tense is here. Everything regarding us is already done. Even glorification. Already done. Completed. Finished. Table clean. Grace and peace. Harmony. Order. Now let's see who is sending all this good stuff deep.
From God.
Oh! From the highest. From the highest. From the one whom Satan can't stand before. Unless he's called. He summons. From God. Okay. Okay. What about God?
Father of us.
Woo! I thought my dad was harsh. He is according to the flesh. But not the eternal, that which is, as Liverman would say, that which abides and shall not pass away. That which is, that which is eternal. God sends us grace, peace from him. He's our Father. He's our eternal spiritual Father. Thanks your body die, your eternal spirit does not die. Absent from the body, listen at it. Absent from the body equals present with the Lord. Here we have been given earth consciousness. We see, feel, experience, interact, and so forth and so on. Taste, touch, da da da. That's in the physical realm. But when these bodies, which are physical, are destroyed or die, we have manifested. See, now we manifested earth consciousness. You cut in front of me. I see you. Earth consciousness. But then, when all of this drops away, this flesh, this body drops away, all that will be left is spiritual consciousness. You heard a song say, I can see clearly now. We'll see clearly. We will know fully even as we are known. Even in Romans it said, having this confidence, the Lord knoweth them that are his. They say, the Lord knoweth, not us. We take one another at their testimony, but the Lord our Father knoweth them that are his. Brother Gerald, don't you know all your children there with you? Suppose not come and sit in there. He ain't mine. God, from God, peace, grace, Father of us. And what else?
And Lord Jesus Christ.
And or even Lord Jesus Christ. Master
owner, Lord Jesus Christ, he has to be revealed unto us who he really is. That's why I went to John to show you what the Lord said again. He said it twice in the 8th chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am, twice in the 8th chapter. He said, I think, in the 48th verse, and he said in the 23rd verse. Pay no attention to the he, it's in italics, a foreign word. It don't belong there. Jesus was telling them, if you believe that not that I am, he was God represented in the flesh. He was the expression of God in the flesh. Ain't no three gods, ain't but one. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are expressions of the one God. They kept questioning, pressing. Who are you? Make it plain to us. Who I told you before? I am. I am. Forget that he is in italics. Verse 4.
The having given himself.
All right. And Lord Jesus Christ, the having given. Or you could say the one, because it's singular here, of course. The one having given. Again, aorist tense. He gave himself in eternity in decree. Calvary was manifestation. Yes. He was in pain. Yes. He was crucified and the nails in his hand. But it was manifestation. A thing becomes real in God's decree before it's manifested. If you don't ever see it, how many of us have seen to the extremity of the universe? It exists because God created it, even though we haven't seen it. Yeah, I know they're getting there. Well, they're getting somewhere. Praise God. The one having given himself for what?
On behalf of the sins.
On behalf of the sins
of us.
Of us. All of them. All of them. All our sins. It was already done in the eternal realm. All our sins. Not some, not most, not nearby all. I know proper English. I'm just doing this so I get your attention. I know you're woke. Awake. All of them. Having given himself on behalf of all the sins of us. We still dealing with him and us. Why?
So as
or in order that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to the information that the Lord has sent you through the Apostle Paul. Give this to my people. Give this to my children. Give this to members of my body. Let them know what they got, who they are, where they're headed.
He might deliver us.
Now, that's a subjunctive aorist. A subjunctive is a probability. But the aorist tense, a completed action, is still there. Is completed in the eternal realm. The probability part is how or when it might manifest in time unto us. It might come to us in time. It might come back then. It might come now. It might yet manifest. Manifest. Not actualized in the decree. That was in eternity. That he might deliver. Having delivered. We are already delivered. So you might, I guess it's proper to pray for some, Lord, deliver me from what I'm thinking, what I'm about to do, so forth. But we have been delivered. We have been delivered. might deliver, having delivered us out, what?
Out of the age.
Out of the age or this age. It's the genitive case and it's singular. So it's not one of the ages, it's the, or better, this age.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this age, what?
Present.
The present.
Evil.
Evil or evil one. This present evil age, we have already been delivered, is just when we realize it in manifestation. Some of us sooner than others. Some of us maybe never. That's the probability. But it's not contingent on manifestation. The aorist tense is right there, telling us we've already been delivered, whether we know it or not. So when you're witnessing to someone, or sharing, or comforting someone, or consoling them, know that they, if you feel like you haven't accomplished, don't worry. They are delivered. If you're worried about your cousin getting saved, quit worrying. If he's a child of God, he is in Christ right now, just like us or you. That he might deliver, having delivered us, out. I don't care how much crime and killing on the street, breaking in houses on old ladies and the such, blowing yourself up in a crowd of people without discrimination. It makes no, well, it does. I don't want to be blowed up. But irregardless, we are delivered. Absent from the body equals what? Present with the Lord. Out of the present evil age, and that's in the perfect tense. The present evil age is already done. Perfect tense, completed action with the ongoing results, or the results coming right down to the present. So tomorrow you delivered. If you see tomorrow, you delivered then too. At next presidential election in 2012, you delivered. At the next rally in Washington, D.C., you delivered. If you don't retract the thing about the Quran and something bad happens, you delivered. If your cousin gets mad at you and want to jump, you delivered. Now, how and why are we delivered, D?
According to
this, our deliverance out of this present evil age is according to
the will of the God,
the will of the God
and Father of us.
It's God's will. It's our Father's will that we were delivered. All it needs, and if it don't manifest to us specifically, all that's left is the manifestation of it. If we get in an accident, a fatal accident, immediately, spiritual, eternal consciousness out of the body, present with the Lord. Immediately. We cannot go by conjecture of what we think. And for God's sake, we can't go by opinion. Opinion rise and opinion fall. It varies all the time. Conjecture. Well, I think, I guess. But God's word is truth. And his word to us, the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, is truth for us. This is the will of God and the Father of us, that we are delivered. Delivered out of the present evil age. And I'm not saying we're not going to go through things, because we are all going through something. And we don't know how we'll make our exodus. But our deliverance is not according to here in this fleshly abode. It's according to our eternal abode. Because we're going to leave here anywhom. Hallelujah. Last verse, D.
To whom the glory,
and this is why, to whom we praise him, to whom the glory
Unto the ages.
Into the ages.
Of the age.
Of the ages of eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Or it is indeed. It's God's word. It's done. It's finished. All that's left is manifestation. Manifestation. Saints of God, be encouraged. You are delivered. You are in Christ Jesus right now. Right now. In spirit. We are in Christ Jesus. Our gospel is primarily spiritual. Primarily spiritual. Apprising us, informing us of who we are, who we belong to. We just read it, God, Father of us. Who we belong to and what we have and can expect. We can expect glory, world without end, and eternal bliss. Eternal bliss in Christ Jesus. All right, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Perhaps there's one here that has